We're about to begin the 45th Shir in Yeshaya, Perek Lamed. Perek Lamed. At this time in history, it's a question where either this Nevuah is being addressed to the 10 tribes who tried to make an alliance with Mitzrayim, with Egypt. They tried to bribe Ashur, Assyria, that they shouldn't be attacked. Or it's referring to Chizkiyahu, the king of Yehuda, who also tried to form alliances to protect him from enemy nations. And the Navi says, Hoi bonim sorim, woe to wayward sons, the sons that stray off the proper path. Ne'um Hashem, Hashem says. They're straying off the proper road. Lasos eitzav lo mini. They're doing a council, they have a plan, but it's not for me. V'lin soch ma'seichov lo ruchi. They're appointing a ruler. The whole nation of Israel, either the 10 tribes or Malchus Yehuda, they're accepting on themselves a foreign nation to be their protector and their ruler. V'lin soch ma'seichov lo ruchi. And they're making a ruler, v'lo ruchi, and it's not what I want, it's not my spirit. L'man sefos chatos al chatos. It's adding on one sin to another sin, with all the faults that Yeshayahu talked about, whether it was the ones of idol worship, or of not taking their avodas Hashem seriously. But to go and rely on the nations of the world, to rely on Egypt, to rely on Assyria, that is going to provide them with protection. That the Novi says, Hoi, whoa, you're adding on one sin to another. Laman tzfos chatos al chatos. You're adding on one sin to another. Haholchim loredes Mitzrayim. What was their counsel, their plan? They're going down to Mitzrayim. Eretz Yisrael's the highest country, and they're going, you go Aliyah when you go up to Eretz Yisrael, and when you're going down, you're Loretis Mitzrayim, they're going down to Mitzrayim. Ufilo Shalu, but they didn't consult me. Lo'oz b'moz paro, they seek strength in Paro's stronghold. V'lachsos b'tzel Mitzrayim, and they want to take shelter in the shade of Mitzrayim. That's the one that's going to care for them and protect them. The Rambam says in Hilchos Melachim, in Perek Hei, that there's an Iser, that we're not allowed to go down to Mitzrayim, we're not allowed to go again down to Mitzrayim. That's one of the discussions, how the Rambam himself lived there in Mitzrayim, had a Jewish community through the centuries. But to go down to Mitzrayim is against the will of Hashem. So they're going down to Mitzrayim, Ufilo Sha'olu, and they're not consulting me. Lo'oz b'moz paro. And they feel that their strength, lo'oz b'moz paro, they'll seek strength in Paro's stronghold. V'lachsos, and they'll take shelter b'tzel Mitzrayim, in the shade of Mitzrayim. So this Paro stronghold will be Leboshes, a shame for you. And taking shelter in the shade of Mitzrayim will be Liklima, will be a humiliation. Boshes is something that a person feels on his own. He feels embarrassed. Klima is when others embarrass him, when others throw ridicule on him. The fact that Klal Yisrael felt somehow Paro would help them, Paro's strength would be their strength. Lo'oz b'moz Paro. They're going to realize that they're putting, people are wondering, how are you going to manage against Ashur? Ashur's such a mighty nation. And all along they're believing, don't worry, Mitzrayim will help us out. Mitzrayim will be our protector. And when Mitzrayim doesn't deliver, They'll be laboshes. They'll be ashamed. They'll realize what they were counting on was a waste of time and has no meaning whatsoever. They'll be laboshes ashamed. V'hechasus b'tzel Mitzrayim. And we'll see in a moment they took active steps. They sent servants and presents down to Mitzrayim as a bribe, that somehow they should find protection in the shade of Mitzrayim. And this belief that if they paid off Mitzrayim, it's an investment. And if they send a gift to Mitzrayim, Mitzrayim will take care of them. That will be liklima. Because people will say, you did so much, and you see what a wasted effort it was. So the boshes, the embarrassment, is what they believe they'll be helped. And when they make the effort of sending a bribe, sending presents to Mitzrayim, that will be liklima. Ki hoyu v'tzoan sarov. Because the officers of Mitzrayim, some aforeshim learned, ki hoyu v'tzoan sarov, the officers of Klal Yisrael were in Tzoan. If you want to know, where are all the Jewish government officials? Where are they all? And you find they all left the country and they went to Tzoan. Umalochav, and the messengers that they sent, Chones Yagiu. These are different cities in Mitzrayim. And his messengers went to Chones. And that's who they're relying on to help them out. And that's going to be their embarrassment. Kol Hovish. They're all, everyone has been shamed. Alam lo yo'ilu lomo. Because they're relying on a nation, lo yo'ilu lomo, that won't be of any benefit for them. Lo la'ezer, there won't be assistance, lo la'ho'il, and not any benefit. The only thing they will get from Mitzrayim is ki lavoshes v'gam l'cherpa. They'll have that boshes, that embarrassment. And cherpa is when a disgrace, that's even a stronger term than klima. But when other people heap ridicule, so this klima in an even stronger form is cherpa, a disgrace. The Malbim learns, ki hoyu v'tzoan sarov. Mitzrayim, the seat of government was in Tzoan. The seat of government was in Tzoan. Ki hayu b'tzoan sarov, and the officers of Egypt remained in their government city, and they stayed in Tzoan. And even though the Jews sent the messages, we want you to help, we're relying on you, let's make an alliance, but the Egyptians weren't receptive, and the officers stayed in Tzoan. But when they heard that there were presents coming, and the Jews were sending tribute, Umalochav Chones Yagiu, then already the Egyptians sent messengers to receive the gift, and those messengers reached the city of Chones. As they traveled, they left their home base, and they traveled in order to receive the present. So Mitzrayim was quick to receive the gifts and the presents from Klal Yisrael, but they weren't of any help. Masa Bahamos Negev. The following is a Masoi. One of the Meforshim learn, the Targum says, Matlin al Beirhon. It's a load that's placed on their animals. Masa Bahamos Negev. There's a load that's placed on the animals that are traveling through the Negev, the dry desert. Be'eretz Tzora V'tzuka. They're going through a land where there's tzara, there's affliction. Vitzuka, and there's adversity. Lovi volayish mayhem, there's lions. Young lions, mature lions, young lions. It's the wilderness. Efe, there's the viper, that's a snake. Vesarof ma'ofeif, and a flying serpent. There's all types of species that are harmful and dangerous, lurking in the desert. Yisu al kesef ayorim. And they're carrying on the shoulder of the ayorim, the young donkeys, chelehem, their wealth. Val dabeshes gemalim, and on the humps of the camels, Otsrosam, their treasures that they stored up, Al Am Lo Yo'ilu. It's all going to a nation. Lo Yo'ilu, where there's no benefit. What's interesting is we all know when you travel from Eretz Yisrael to Egypt, you go through the desert, the Sinai desert. The Ramban makes a mention in the Tochacha that there's no place on earth that was like once a thriving, fertile civilization, and it all of a sudden becomes a no man's land, except for Eretz Yisrael. That when the Jews are not in the country, the land becomes an absolute desert. But he says the normal thing is there are certain areas in the world that are deserts, and certain areas are settled. So in this pasuk here, when you're learning, traveling to Mitzrayim and going through the desert, it's just remarkable to note that after thousands of years, it's the same wild desert where if a person gets lost, his life is in jeopardy. But Eretz Yisrael, it says, is the one place that when the Jews aren't there, it becomes a desert, and when we are there, it becomes a fertile, productive land. But this is masa, the load that they put on the animals, Bahamos Negev. And they're sending it down in the land with his lovey, volayish mehem, lions, efev, esara, ma'ofef. It's interesting, the Malbim brings up shot. What these different animals are. The Efen, these are different types of snakes. Actually, it's Rashi. Rashi says on Efen, Mi nochash ro, some type of bad, dangerous snake, who? Ve'ein ba'olam kim shnayim. This Efen, there's only two of them. There's a zachar and a keva, a male and a female. V'heim yoldim l'shivim shana. These snakes give birth, there's nochash, every 70 years. V'av sorof ma'ofeif min nochashu. The sorof, this ma'ofeif, this flying serpent, min nochashu, it's some type of snake. V'lo she'il lo k'nafayim lo. If it didn't have wings to fly, it was called a flying serpent because it's able to travel, it jumps great distances. And it throws out a flame from its mouth. It sort of, Rashi says it's able, some type of nochosh, it jumps great distances, and fire comes out of its mouth. I don't know exactly, it sounds almost like a dragon, that type of, but exactly what the meaning of that, that's what Rashi seems to say. So the people travel down to Mitzrayim in order to bring this gift to Mitzrayim. Chelehem, the pasuk talks about riches. Riches are the wealth that a person has now. Otsrosam is the treasures that you store up. A person has a storehouse and he put his wealth there and it's been accumulated from years previous. That's the Otsaros, the treasures. Ayorim is the young donkeys. The Malbim understands that they're sending gifts down through the desert. Yisu al kesef ayorim. They start off sending the presents. And they're carried on the shoulder of the ayorim, these young, or he's young camels, the Malbim says. Young camels. But they continued constant making trips back and forth, dropping off the tribute to Mitzrayim, coming back to Eretz Yisrael and picking up another load. And as the time went on, these ayorim, these young camels, grew up into adult camels. Va'al dabeshes gemalim, and on the humps of the adult camels, they were still sending presents. But all of the chelehem, all of the wealth, was already sent with the previous trips. So now already they had to dig into their storehouses. So they're really sending all the wealth they have on the young donkeys, and they continue persisting until they have to take out of their treasure houses and put it on the adult donkeys. Valdabeshas gamali motzrosam, and they send on the camel's humps all of their stored up treasure, al am lo yo'ilu, to a nation that won't help them. Dabeshas comes from the word divash, because the hump of a camel gets very irritated. It's carrying loads, and the saddle and the bags and the rub against the skin, and very often it gets a sore spot. And they would put on honey to protect it. So the hump became called Dabeshes because they always put honey on the hump in order to heal it. In fact, the Gemara says if a guy has honey and it's spoiled, what can you do with it? And the Gemara explains that you would use it for the camel's hump. So they would send their gifts down to Mitzrayim al am lo yo'ilu, to a nation that doesn't help. Umitzrayim hevel variki azoru. Mitzrayim hevel, it's vanity, it's nothing. Variki, it's empty. Yazoru, their help. Lochein korosi lazos. Therefore I've called this Rahav Hain. They're arrogant shoves. They just sit and do nothing. That's what the Navi calls Mitzrayim. Hevel, vanity, means there's nothing there. There's nothing of substance. Varik means you see a shell. There's something on the outside, but it's empty. There's nothing inside. So Mitzrayim Hevel, whatever help Mitzrayim could have possibly given, was Hevel. There was nothing there. It was insignificant. It was very weak. Mitzrayim can't be of assistance. And the little bit that you think they might help, even that is only exterior. It's varik, it's empty. There's nothing inside. There's no substance to what they do. Rahav haim, and therefore they're called arrogant. They feel they can help. They feel they're a world power. But it's hevel. There's nothing there. They're just arrogant. Rahav haim. And even what they think they could do, it's reek, it's empty. Because shoves, they sit, and they don't come to help at all. I once heard from a gadol. I'm not sure exactly which gadol it was, but he was discussing why certain things are no longer emphasized in the frum world as they were through the centuries. And one thing he mentioned was the learning of Navi. It used to be the learning of Navi, the Gemara says a person should divide his learning a third in Mikra, a third in Tanakh, a third in Mishnah, and a third in Gemara. Once a person's progressed and he already knows Mikra and he knows Mishnah, then he should spend the bulk of his day doing Gemara. But a person was expected to know all of Tanakh. Tosfos says in Kiddushin that nowadays we have the Gemara Bavli. The Gemara Bavli mixes in everything. It's got the Mishnayos and it has the Psukim, and therefore we rely on the fact that learning Gemara has everything. But the truth is, learning Tanakh used to be an emphasis who was expected that everybody knows Tanakh and everybody knows Mishnayos. And then after that, they went on to Gemara, Ben Chamesh Shanim LeMikra, Ben Eser LeMishnah, as it says in Pirkei Avos. And the question is, why did the learning of Nach become abandoned? And the Gadol's explained as follows, that the truth is we're learning the Nevi'im, for when Klal Yisrael was in Eretz Yisrael, we were an independent nation, we had a Beis HaMikdash, we had Malchus Beis David, there was monarchy, and there the lessons for Klal Yisrael were a certain way that we're expected to live. And the truth is, there are many, many lessons that are critical for us to know nowadays. But at the same time, a lot of the lessons for a Jew in Golos are different. Before elaborating a little more, I just wanted to quote a Ramban. The Ramban in Parshas b'chukosai. The Ramban says it's the Ramban is in Perek Chov Zayin, Perek Chov Vov, Pasuk Yud Aleph. It's in the latter part. It's a long Ramban, but the Ramban says in the latter piece of this Ramban that it used to be when an individual kept the Torah, normally people who keep the Torah and mitzvahs have a good life. There are always exceptions, and there has to be exceptions, otherwise a person doesn't have bechira. If a person keeping the Torah always has it good, and somebody who goes against the Torah is always suffering, then a person doesn't have free will. But usually, in fact, the Ramban writes also in, I think, in Kisavo, that the Jews in Golus, even, normally have it as good, if not better, than their neighbors. It's something to think about. In other words, in Golus, normally through history, the Jews had a standard of living and had a life that was more enjoyable. It was a better life than the non-Jews. That's what the Ramban writes. This is what he writes 800 years ago. So, but an individual who keeps the mitzvahs, usually things will be good. That's the assumption. You keep the Torah and the mitzvahs, it'll be good. You go against the Torah and mitzvahs, there'll be a punishment. But when one person does that, or we're dealing with individuals, that's called a nes nister. It's a hidden miracle. And the whole Torah is based on hidden miracles, as we've mentioned previously. The very idea that if you keep the Torah, it'll be good, that's a miracle. Because that means that somehow when I do a mitzvah, that is going to affect the course of events. Even though there's no logical, there's no way that we can understand it without realizing that God is changing the course of nature because of our mitzvahs. But that's, by an individual, it's called a nes nister. And the Ramban says, though, when you're dealing with a tzibur, when you're dealing with a whole land, that's a nes nigla. If there's a whole land and everyone in the whole country keeps the Torah and the mitzvahs, the brachas mentioned in Parshas V'chukosai, B'nosna ha'aretz piryo, and v'yishavtom levetach ba'artzachem, you'll be secure in your land, the land will give the fruit, there'll be peace in the land, there won't be wild animals. For something that the whole country is prosperous, and everyone in the country is successful and healthy, and for the whole country to live that way is a miracle. It's a nes nigla. And likewise, when there's a punishment, if the whole land is destroyed, like it says in Nitzavim, people will say, why is the land destroyed like this? It's been overturned like Sodom and Amorah. Something that affects the whole country. People wonder, why did that happen? So the Ramban continues, and he says as follows. V'haklal, ki biyos Yisrael shleimim, v'heim rabim. When Klal Yisrael is complete, and there's numerous ones in the Jewish nation who are serving Hashem, lo yisnahe ginyonam b'teva klal. They're life doesn't conduct itself with nature at all. Lo begufam, v'lo ba'artzam, lo bichlolam, v'lo biyachin mehem. Not with their body, not with their land, not for the individuals, not for the group. Ki yivorech Hashem lachmam u'meimam. Hashem blesses their bread and their water, and they'll be healthy. Ad shlo yitzdorchu l'rofei. That happens to be when all of Klal Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael, and we keep the Torah. The Ramban says you won't need a doctor. You won't have to protect yourself in any way that has to do with refuah. You can almost like abuse your health, but as long as you're keeping the Torah and the mitzvahs, I guess you're not doing anything that goes beyond v'nishmartem lo'od l'nafsho seichem. But you don't have to worry about following the darkei harefuos. As the Torah says, Ki ani Hashem rofecha, you keep the Torah and the mitzvahs, Hashem says, I'm your doctor, I'm your healer, and things will be good. V'ilu haya dvar harofim nog bohem. And if you think that people would go to doctors, Matam sheyazkeru rofim. There's a pasuk that says the tzaddikim, or they're blamed. There's a story in the Navi. It says lo yidrashu barofim. It says that lo darashas Hashem ki barofim. One of the kings didn't inquire from Hashem. He was sick, and instead of going to the Navi and finding out what to do, he went to the doctors. And the Navi writes that down as a blame, or as if he's sick, because Hashem made him sick. So go to the Navi and find out what his fault is, and Hashem will make him better. And instead he went to the doctors. Aval hu kasher yomar odom, and the Ramban says it's almost like you'd say somebody didn't eat matzah on Pesach, and he ate chametz. It's like a double blow. He didn't eat matzah, that's one aveira. And instead he ate chametz. So too, if somebody's sick and he doesn't go to the Navi, that's one strike. And instead of going to the Navi, he went to a doctor, that's like a second complaint against the person. Aval hadoresh Hashem b'Navi lo yidrosh barofim. And the Ramban says somebody who inquires from Hashem through a Navi won't be the type of person to go to a doctor. Umachelek lerofim beveis osei ritzon Hashem. What portion do the doctors have in the house of those who do the will of Hashem? Achar sheivtiach, Hashem promised, uverech etzlach mecha v'esmei mecha. Hashem promised, you keep the mitzvahs, I'll bless your bread and your water. V'asirosi machlo mikirvecha, and I'll remove sickness. V'horofim ein maseim rakal hamachol v'hamashke. A doctor, his main, the Ramban says, his emphasis is on what a person should eat and drink to restore the body to its equilibrium. Lahazir mimenu l'tzavos aleho, what he should avoid and what he should eat. But if a person is following the will of Hashem and he gets sick, so then he has to figure out what he did wrong. Going to the doctors is, he's missing the whole cause. It's like trying to treat the symptom without the underlying cause. But even it's not even treating the symptom. Hashem made him sick for a reason, so there's no reason to go to a doctor. V'kach omru, kol esrin v'tartin shonin d'molach rabo, Rav Yosef afilu umna l'beise lo kora. The Ramban brings down a Gemara, which he understands to mean that when Rabba was the Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Yosef didn't have to go to the doctor at all. There was such a zechus that Rabba was the Rosh Yeshiva, nobody went to doctors. V'hamoshol lehem tarod lo psiach l'mitzvosa. Chazal say, if you don't open your door for a mitzvah to give tzedakah, it's psiach la'asi, it's open to the doctors. V'hum ha'morom, she'en darkum shel b'nei adam b'rafuos ela shenoagu. And that's what Chazal mean, that it's not the derech of a person to really be involved in refuos, in cures. Ela shenoagu, just the people got into this practice, they go to doctors, but it's really not the proper way it should be, the Ramban seems to say. Ilu lo hayadarkam b'refuos, if they wouldn't have gotten involved in refua, yechle adam kefi asher yi'olav onesh cheto, a person would become sick based on his aveira. V'yisrape v'rotzen Hashem, and then when Hashem wants, either he suffered enough or he does tshuva, then when Hashem wants, he'll get better. Avol heim nagu b'refuos, but the people are noyig to get involved in refuos. V'Hashem hinicham l'mikrei ativim, and Hashem let them go along the way of nature. But as the Ramban points out, the truth is the Torah mentions going to doctors. The Torah says that we have two people fighting, and one person hurts the other, there's a number of different payments he has to make. Nezek, Tsar, Ripoy, Sheves, Boshes. He has to pay different types of payments. His doctor bills, and his unemployment, and whatever damage was caused, and his embarrassment, and the pain. But it says, Verapo Yirape. The one who's the mazik, the one who injured, has to pay the doctor bills. Because as much as a person can have bitachon and rely on Hashem, but you can't do that for somebody else. If Reuven hurt Shimon, he can't tell Shimon, you know what? You were hurt, go to the Navi. Find out what Hashem wants. You're suffering, go to the Navi. If Reuven hurt Shimon, Reuven will have to pay the doctor bill. That you see in the Torah. But the way the Ramban explains, it just means that if a person is injured, a person wants to go to a doctor, he has a right to demand payment to go to the doctor. And if the Gemara learns out, Mikan Shenitzin Rishus L'Rofe L'Rapos, if somebody comes to you, and you know how to heal him, so you should know it's proper to heal him. The Ramban says, don't worry what happens if you try to heal him and Chas V'Shalom, the person dies. If you are experienced and you know your field, Achreishu Boki Balmalocha Ahi, if you know what you're doing, and he wants you to heal him, so you should heal him. But the sick person himself really should know it's not the doctor, he has to rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Ramban. Avol birtzois Hashem darcha yish, ein lo esek barofim. A person would have no involvement with doctors. Now, I'm not sure if the Ramban means this only when the tzibur, when all of Klal Yisrael is keeping the Ratzon of Hashem, or if it can apply to an individual, but the Ramban mentions this idea, that a person really shouldn't go to doctors. If he gets sick, he's allowed to go to a doctor, and if he goes to a doctor, the doctor should heal him, but really, the Navi says, as the Navi says, he didn't go to the Navi, he went to a doctor, and he's blamed. It's like, he didn't eat chametz, he didn't eat matzah. On Pesach, he ate chametz. Going to the doctor, the Navi says, is wrong. But you're allowed to. So what happens is, we're learning through the Nevi'im, and somebody learns through the Nevi'im, and he sees that the Navi comes, and he says, how come you went to a doctor? And then he learns that lesson, and he thinks to himself, he shouldn't go to a doctor. If he's not such a Baal Bitochon, if Klal Yisrael is not on that level, so it's expected he should go to a doctor. And he should find a good doctor that should be a shliach from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make him better. But certain things apply when all of Klal Yisrael is on the land and we're all doing the Ratzon of Hashem. That's the way life should be conducted. And now that we're in Golus and we don't feel the Hashkocha and we're not on that Madrega, so if a person is sick, he goes to the doctor. And he should know that the main thing is Hashem, and he should daven, and Hashem makes him better. But he's allowed to go to doctors, and he should go to doctors. But learning the Navi, he won't see that. So the Gadol explained, there are other lessons also that, as these psukim that we've been reading, they went to Mitzrayim. They sent bribes to the land of Mitzrayim to help them out. And Mitzrayim is won't assist them. There is a major, it's at this point already a lot of the controversies have died down. But in Hashkafa, the way Klal Yisrael should be living in the land of Eretz Yisrael and how they should view the government there, there was a Menachem Begin became the prime minister, and I think it was 1977. And then it was a while after that, he announced he was going to annex the Golan Heights. Golan Heights were captured in 1967, and Israel had control over it. And Menachem Begin felt, and out of all the leaders, the prime ministers, he was the first one that wasn't from the Labor Party. And he actually was very close, and he had a high regard for the Gedolim, even though he himself, was not fully observant, but he had at least a kavod, a respect. He came to America, and I guess he wanted to meet the Gedolim in America. So they announced that, so they worked it out, that he could go and visit. They would have a meeting in Rav Moshe Feinstein's apartment in the Lower East Side. So Menachem Begin came down, and of course they had all the security guards and the bomb-sniffing dogs to make sure the apartment's not dangerous. But Menachem Begin came there, and Rav Moshe was there, and Rav Ruderman, Rav Huttner, Rav Yaakov, the Rosh Hashivas were there, and he had to put a yarmulke on, and he came and he spoke to them. A number of them knew him from his youth, from back in Europe. But, he had a high regard for the Chachamim, the Gedolim. But he decided to annex the Golan Heights. It was actually under Israel's control already for more than a decade. And it's ours, so let's make it official. And when he annexed the Golan Heights, there was a big uproar in the world that Israel's taking it over. Till now it was just occupied, and they're officially, announcing that it's theirs. And Rav Shach had every year they have a Yarchei Kala in Panovich. They have a few weeks where people come to learn, Balabatim, working people, when the yeshivas, Bein Hastoa, Bein Hazmanim, between Tisha B'Av and Elul. And usually Rav Shach used to give a State of the Union, a major message at that point. And very often it was had dealt with the politics of the time. But I don't know if it was at that occasion that he said, but he mentioned, he quoted a Gemara in Yevamos. Rabbi Akiva said he was once on a ship, and it was shipwrecked, and he was in danger of drowning, and he saw a board floating on the water, so he grabbed the board, and when all the waves came smashing against him, he bent his head to make as small of a silhouette as possible, that he shouldn't be injured, and he was able to survive. And from there, the Mefarshim explained the Gemara, it's a lesson to existing in Golus. That as we're getting buffeted and hit by the waves of all the nations of the world and all the suffering, it's better if you just keep a low profile and try to just let it pass right over you. And they all connected with, it says he found a daf and he held on to the daf. They say, oh, he has to have his daf yomi. You know, he held on to the daf and that helped him survive. But so Rav Shach said, the truth is, Israel has the Golan Heights. There's no real practical difference whether they officially annex it or not. So it's better if they don't do anything that's going to get the Goyim riled up if there's no practical benefit, and it has to be weighed very carefully whether it's worth doing such a thing or not. So even though the truth is learning through Nevi'im, in other words, a person can learn through the Nevi'im and feel that, you know, we have our government in the land and we really don't care what any nations of the world say. But a lot of the Gedolim felt that that Klal Yisrael still being in Golus has to rely on the Goyim nowadays because we can't. The Nevi'im were speaking in a time when there were Nevi'im and there was Malchus Beis David, there was the monarchy, so the messages of these Nevi'im don't necessarily translate into nowadays. So that could be one reason why the limud of Nach was downplayed and a lot of people didn't spend the same effort on Navi. But the Navi cries out that Mitzrayim hevel v'rik yazoru. Mitzrayim, their help is hevel, is vanity. There's no substance to it. And the little that they seem to show that they're going to do is v'rik. There's nothing inside. It's empty. L'chein karosi l'zos. And therefore I've called them Rahav Haim. They're just arrogant, shoves, they sit idle, and you can't rely on them at all, and therefore the Navi takes them to task why they sent messengers to Mitzrayim. Which again, it's from the very, in other words, the blame that's placed on them for not relying on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On the other hand, we see their greatness. It's not an outright Avera. They should have discussed it with the Navi. It's, as the Navi said, it's Sefos Chatos Al Chatos in Pasuk Aleph. They're adding on one sin to another sin, whatever they've done wrong before, and now they're doing this wrong also. But they should have gone to their Gedolim, to the Nevi'im, to ask them and consult how they should conduct themselves, and they shouldn't have gone to Mitzrayim. Ata now, Bo Chosvo, come and write it. Aluach itam. Come and write it on a tablet, itam, that's with them. They should see you writing it down. And a writing tablet doesn't last necessarily for a long time. Val sefer chuka. But you should inscribe it, like engrave it, into a book that'll remain. Usehiliom acharon, and this should be for the end of times. For the last day, lo'ad, forever, ad olam, for eternity. This message that Klal Yisrael should not have been relying on the nations of the world. Ki amrihu, because Klal Yisrael is like a nation that rebels. And sometimes a person rebels because he has a Yetzihara. He's committed to the Torah and the mitzvahs, but he has strong desires and he does the wrong thing. That's an amrihu. They're rebelling. But they're rebelling because they have their other desires. Bonim kechoshim. But there's a worse level. And that is when you have sons that are kechoshim, that are dishonest. And he denies that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded him that this mitzvah doesn't apply. Not that I'm wrong, but he justifies his way of life and he says there is no such mitzvah. He denies, he's dishonest. And then there's the third level, Bonim lo ovu shmoa Torah Hashem. Children who don't want to hear the Torah Hashem. They want to live the way they are and they're not interested in the Navi coming and giving them messages what Hashem wants from them. Asher amru lo roim lo siru. They said to the Nevi'im, those that see, they told them, lo siru. We don't want you to see Nevuah. As we're not interested in your Nevuah. You have this prophecy from Hashem. We don't want it. V'lachozin, and those that have the visions, the seers, those that can see the future, those that can see, they say, lo sechzu lanu nechochos. Don't see for us the true visions. The prophets, they say, don't see for us the true visions. Dabru lanu chalokos. Speak to us pleasant things. Chazu mahasalos. See for us. Mahasalos is fantasies, things that have no substance to them. Of course, they didn't refer to it as mahasalos. Mahasalos is words of, also mean words of mockery. They didn't call it words of mockery, but the Novi says they want to have a message that everything is peaceful and everything is good, but that's not reality. It's words of mahasalos. In other words, they want the Nevi'im to say the Nevuah that they want to hear. And at this time, in the times of Yeshaya, there was, and later on in the times of Yirmiyah, there were the true prophets that told the people they have to do tshuva, and if not, there's going to be a churban, there's going to be a destruction. And there were false prophets who gave them messages that, don't worry, things will be good, and whatever people were exiled, and the kalim, whatever was taken to Bavel will be brought back, things will be peaceful. So Yeshaya is dealing with that, and he says, "Asher amru laroim." People are telling the true Nevi'im, we don't want you to see Nevuah. We don't want, the Malbim learns, it's those who try to correct Bein Adam la'Adam, Bein Adam la'Chaveiro, they would tell those roim lo siru. We don't want you to see and to supervise and notice what we're doing. We're not interested in you controlling our life. V'lachozim, and those that, the prophets, those that see how we're acting, Bein Adam la'Makom, lo sechzu lanu nechochos. We don't want you to see for us the true vision, how we should act, Bein Adam la'Makom. Dabru lanu chalokos, speak a smooth talk, pleasant things. Chazu, have visions, mahasalos. That the Navi says the visions they want are really visions of mockery, of lies. Surumini derech. They tell the Nevi'im, veer off the road. Derech is a wide road, as opposed to an orach, which is a narrow path. Surumini derech. Veer off the road. Hatumini orach. And then stray from the path. If the Nevi'im, somehow there's, which is the danger, occasionally it comes up, there's certain matters of morality, and it goes up for a vote in the government, should certain things be condoned, should be allowed. The danger is very often when a law is instituted, it filters down to the people's attitude and the way a person views something. Surumini derech. If the Nevi'im veer off the path, and they don't stress doing what's right, and they seem to condone dishonest, let's say, business practices. The way the Malbim describes it, he says, Lamosho, if the shofet, or the mora, maniach yisoid, he makes a foundation, shemutter ligzol v'lachmos, that you're allowed to steal, you're allowed to take what belongs to somebody else, husar mi derech hagadol hanimusi akavua. So he's straying off the path that people know in a normal civilized society knows it's not allowed. But if somehow they come up with a rule that, you know, that you're allowed to steal from somebody else if you don't get caught, or they pass down a certain message that you're allowed to be dishonest. You're allowed to steal. V'im achar kach ha'idei ha'chok hazeh ya'avsu rabim mishpat. Now, as a result of that law, the multitude makes crooked decisions, bidvorim protim. Sehimati me'orchus ha'protim bein ish l'reyo. The rule is, the highway, the major road, is there surumini derech. But once the government, once the leaders allow wrongdoing, they allow you to go off the road, hatumini orach. So the common person, on his little path through life, everyone has their own orach. Everyone has their own little path. There's the derech, the road that everyone goes on. That's certain proper conduct everyone's supposed to use. But if you're surumini derech, it has an effect that hatumini orach. They stray from that little path. And it trickles down that the whole society gets ruined. But that's what they tell the Nevi'im. We're not interested in living to a higher standard. Hashpisu mi panenu as Kedosh Yisrael. We'd like you to remove from our presence the Kedosh Yisrael, the Holy One of Klal Yisrael. Referring to Hashem as the Kedosh Yisrael, that's a reminder that if Hashem is the Holy One, we're supposed to be holy. Kedoshim tiyu ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. You have to be holy because Hashem is holy. But they're not interested in having an awareness of the Kedosh Yisrael. They would just like to live their life and do whatever they're doing. And therefore, they're not interested in the guidance of the Nevi'im. They're not interested in their teachings. They're interested in conducting themselves in the normal way. They're running a country. If there's enemies, they'll send messengers to Mitzrayim, and they'll ask Egypt to help them. Lachain, therefore, Ko Amar Kedosh Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Kedosh Yisrael, and Hashem is the Holy One, and He wants us to live with holiness. And whether you like it or not, it's the Kedosh Yisrael, and Hashem expects us to live with Kedusha. Yan Mo'oschem Badover Hazeh. Because you despise this word. Vativtechu Ba'oshek V'nolos. And you trusted in robbery. Vinolos in twisted conduct. Vatishanu alov, and you've depended on it. Therefore, lochein, therefore, ye lochem he'ovon hazeh. This sin will be for you, keferetz no fail. Like a breach in a wall that's falling. There can be a strong wall, but once it gets a hole in it, the whole wall is weakened, and then the stronger and heavier the wall is, now that it has a hole in it, it's going to topple quicker. It's because it has such tremendous weight, and there's a hole in it. It's going to be like a peretz nofil, nive b'choma niskova. If you have a choma niskova, a high wall, a lofty wall, and there's a nive, like a bubble, there's a bulge, that somehow maybe the moisture got in and it started bubbling, there's decay. When there's a nive in the choma niskova, asher pisam lefesa yovo shivra, where the it breaks with a quick suddenness. The collapse, the shivra, the breaking of this wall happens, asher pisam lefesa yovo shivra. Once it gets that bulge, it gets the hole in the wall collapses. So you're relying on the protection, the shade of Mitzrayim. It's not going to last. It's going to be like this wall that's going to collapse. And not only is it in quantity that you have a large wall with many stones and it breaks, but Ushvara, the quality of the materials of the wall, when it's broken, Ushvara, Kishever Nevel Yotrim. It's like the shaver, like you'd break a Nevel Yotrim, a flask of Yotrim, a potter. If you have a piece of pottery and it breaks, so the potter will grind it down again into a dust, and then he can do something with it. He can make another pottery, he can use it for something else. But a broken piece of pottery has no use unless he grinds it down into a powder or if it's big enough to do something with. But here Ushvara, this broken wall is Keshever, Nevel Yotrim, like the breaking of the Nevel Yotrim, the flask of the potters. Kosus, that's crushed, that's broken, Lo Yachmo, without any compassion, because the potter sees no benefit and no reason to leave over broken pieces. So he totally grinds it down. V'lo yimotzei b'mechitoso cheres. And you won't find, and among any of the fragments, b'mechitoso, and on any of the fragments, there won't be a cheres, a piece of pottery. Lachtos eish miyokud, to even like stir a fire, to scrape a coal out of the fire. V'lachsof mayim migeve, or to draw water out of a ditch, a cistern. Sometimes you have a, you want to draw up a little water, so you have a little piece of broken, a broken cup, and it's good to draw out some water. But here there won't be anything. Relying on Mitzrayim, it's like as strong of a wall as you think it is, it's going to collapse. And when it collapses, there won't be any benefit whatsoever. There won't be anything of use in Mitzrayim. Kicho Amar Hashem Elokim. Because so says Hashem Elokim. Kedosh Yisrael, who is the Holy One, the Kedosh Yisrael. Beshuva v'nachas tivosheun. You will be saved. You'll saved Beshuva, if you're still, you're tranquil, you're quiet. V'nachas. And you're gentle, with peace. With shuva and nachas tivosheyun, if you would put your trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, without making the efforts to go to Mitzrayim and to send him your wealth and sending him your treasures, just relax. Bahashket uvevitcha. And if not only did you physically refrain from going to Mitzrayim, but if inwardly you would feel a hashket uvevitcha, with quietness, uvevitcha, and with confidence, with bitochon, tia gvuraschem, that would be your might. V'lo avisim, you didn't want. The Malbim says, Hashem wanted, if you want to be saved from the enemy, sometimes you yourself are saved, it doesn't mean the enemy is necessarily overpowered, just you're saved. Then there's another level where actually you are persevere over the enemy. Beshuva v'nachas. If you have a menuchas haguf, beshuva, your stillness and peacefulness, relax. Know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of it. And physically you refrain from going to Mitzrayim. Beshuva v'nachas tivosheyu, and you'll be saved. And if you have a higher madrega, where not only are you controlling yourself not to go to the goyim, but you actually feel a hashket uvitcha, you feel the hashket, you feel the quiet and the confidence, you feel an inner tranquility and bitochon, with that tia gvuraschem. If you've reached that madrega of bitochon, you'll even have gvura, you'll overpower the enemy. V'lo avisim. But Klal Yisrael didn't want, and they wanted to conduct their ways on the normal course of human events. That when there's an enemy, you make alliances, and you go to your neighbors. V'atom rulochi. But you say, that's not so. We're not going to rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ki asus nonus. But we'll flee on a horse. We like to get to horses. Mitzrayim was the center of horses, and you feel that you're going to rely on the horses. Ki al sus nonus, will be able to flee on the horses. Al kein tenusun. So the Navi says, if you're going to rely on the quick horses, so what's going to happen is you'll talk after use those horses to flee from the enemy. Val kal nirkov, and if you feel that you can be mischazek, you can strengthen yourself by the light-footed horses, al kal nirkov will ride on the kal, on the light, the swift animals, You'll find that your enemies are the ones who are light and swift, and your enemies will be able to persevere over you. The message of the Navi is, again, Klal Yisrael is supposed to place their bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is a lesson that, again, applies to us in our life, that, of course, the person has to realize everything is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But, as we've mentioned, this is actually one of the areas where not necessarily the way they were supposed to conduct themselves at that time is the way a Jewish government nowadays would conduct themselves while we're still in Golis before Mashiach comes. But the lessons that if we would only have that bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything would be good and we wouldn't need to rely on the goyim. Just like relying on the doctors, it's not really a refuah. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu made someone sick, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes them better. But now that we're in Golis and we're not on that madrega, so that's the minig. We go to doctors. Everyone should be healthy without the doctors, but if need be, we go to the doctors. And likewise, nowadays, it has to be decided by the gedolim when a person does have to rely on the goyim and when not. But if we would only have b'shuva v'nachas tivosheyun b'hashkedu v'vidcha tiyah gvuraschem, that if we have bitochen in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we'd be saved. And the Novi tells them they don't have to rely on the nations of the world, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help them.